Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the final few weeks of August, which is dedicated to our Code Camp 2019. For the past few summers, we've been running different variations of Code Camp, making sure that we understand the basics, the things that we need to do that cover from different directions, whether we're working with WordPress or not. Well, because we did a pretty comprehensive Code Camp last year, I am building upon last year's Code Camp and extending it to unique concepts that you may or may not know about HTML, CSS, PHP, things that don't require advanced computer science degrees to figure out, but that we can actually apply them in real life in our clients' work. So while we are going to spend just a few minutes, quick refresher, all the stuff that needs to happen with HTML in order to be compliant and as cross-browser as possible, we're going to jump ahead also to kind of tips and tricks, things to remember, why you would want to remember those things. And then we're going to dive into some really cool things you can do with HTML that go beyond just here's how you do a paragraph tag, that type of stuff. So that's what we're doing today. So just as a reminder, while we might say PHP is the core foundational element of WordPress and a lot of web-based applications that require communication to a database, HTML really is the presentation layer of WordPress. It's how the browser structures information and is able to give accurate information to browsers for what they need to display it as, how, what type of content. And these are done through tags or elements. These elements wrap around regular content, and those elements dictate the instructions to the browsers that know how to interpret all that type of stuff. Mike, yes, Gutenberg decided to say, let's just throw everything out the window and do our own little thing. We probably won't deal with too much of their markup, but basically, just I'll make this comment. All markup in Gutenberg is just comments. And we'll deal with the reason why we do HTML commenting. And why Gutenberg HTML commenting, I believe, has a chance to devalidate HTML. Okay, you probably haven't heard this before. How many of you have heard this? Some experts talking about how Gutenberg's markup may not actually validate in the future. Anybody heard that? Okay, well, all right. Didn't mean to go down this road, but let me actually explain this. Here over here, we're going to have comments. Now, in HTML, when we want to make a comment about something, and this is, you know, a key element of HTML, by opening up a tag with an exclamation point and two dashes, we can make a comment, and then closing it with two dashes and bracketing, the front end layer will ignore it. Now, here's a problem. If the presentation layer on how HTML is structured and validated, we must eliminate comments from presentation layer. Basically, that's the, in a nutshell, what's happening. Well, what Gutenberg has just done is this, something that looks just like a comment. I'm just making this up. Guten header block one. So we would see this, and then we would also see a Guten header block one. Okay, so we'd see a comment, but it's not going to show on the front end. So if we're supposed to eliminate presentation layer, but yet WordPress and Gutenberg, the block editor, is using this for presentation layer for how to display whatever's inside, basically we're going against the validation of HTML. So in the coming years, this is going to be a debate. Basically, it's going to put WordPress developers against the core of, I think, the standard bearers, the W3 authorities, where they will say, no, this is not, we don't put presentation layer in comments. Does that make sense? That's where we may have problems in the future. And there's going to have to be a change. Because if WordPress sites no longer validate, well, then we've got major problems with security certificates, e-commerce stuff, all that stuff. Oh, Stacy, great question. I know we're off in a little rabbit hole here. I'm sure Automatic and Matt and others will try and drive validation, rule changes, modifications, all these other stuff. But as much as we like to say, well, 30% or more of the internet is powered by WordPress, that still leaves 60 to 70% that doesn't use, that wants validation. Now, if WordPress went and got 51% of the internet, basically it's over. WordPress can do whatever they want. Now, this could all be for naught, where people may just say, it's comments, what do we care? But I've seen debates at the W3 approvals thing, and they care about some of the most minute letterings or phrasings. All right, so let's get back, because we kind of really went off on that. So remember, commenting in HTML is going to be important, and I'm going to explain another thing why we should consider commenting heavily even when we're in WordPress. Yeah, we went on a rabbit trail before we even started. And I promise I have not started drinking. All right, so with the elements in HTML, these all describe what is inside. Quick reminder, only use lowercase in your elements, in your tags. We should not be using capitalized letters. I would also say that there is something that we do need to talk about, and it's something we've never talked about, because these are attributes that get added to HTML. Now, well, you can put attributes in any order. You can put attributes in any order. There is a logic to an order that if you get into the habit of doing it this way, in the logic that I'm about ready to show you, it's going to make your life easier when you come back to a project. You need to find something. You need to be able to process over something or think about something or do whatever you want. Even though you don't have to abide by this, it helps to remember that there is a hierarchy that is preferred. And the first one is, whenever we talk about attributes, these are things that live inside the tags. It could be the ID equals main. So ID should always come first, because those are primary CSS classifications. there's only going to be one ID or a main ID in a section. Then after that, we could do classes. Green, muffin, blue, whatever. So we can add a number of classes. So put them after the ID. You can have an element have both IDs and classes, because maybe you have defined a class for green that does background. Maybe you have a class for blue that deals with the underline capability. So we can add those in the multiples, and we can do class over here, green. So if you don't have an ID, go ahead and start with the class. Then if you need inline, we can begin to put inline style after. The reason why this is going to be help, whoops, undo that. The reason why this is going to be helpful is if you go back in and you start looking at all of this stuff, like if we come over here and say, let's inspect this area. So we're inspecting this of this ID. The interesting thing about this is you will have basically what's going on is your element style will immediately show up for any inline styling that's going on in CSS. Then you can backtrack to see, okay, well, right now there's no main, there's no green, muffin, blue, so they're not showing up. But this gives us that ability to quickly locate what is inline style, what is class, what is an ID. And then basically we have one more that we would chase after if we need to. We can put a title equals click this. Does everybody know what a title does when you add it to an element? It's basically a tooltip. If you add a title to any element, when somebody hovers over the element, you get a tooltip. And this is true for all major browsers. Mobile devices are not going to see it unless I can't test for an iOS, but if you actually press and hold, you can sometimes see this. So the title does not have to be with like image tags or anchor tags. Any element that is going to, it doesn't even have to link to anything. Now, I probably shouldn't do click this if it's not a clickable thing, but you have access to basically tooltips that are built into browsers. It's an accessibility thing. Why is this also important? Because titles will show up on accessible machines. If you need to have additional information, especially if, here's an idea. Let's say you had an HR tag. Let's do HR. So see, that's a horizontal line. But they may not be able to see this horizontal line. Let me do this. I'm trying to get some space so that we can. It's really hard to hover over this. There we are. I had just had it. See how it now pops up on that line? This is a brilliant way for accessibility elements. If you are using horizontal lines or block quotes or other things that if someone is just browsing your site using an accessible browser or something like this, again, it's really hard to get it to show up. Do you see it now showing up? Oh, interesting. Well, it's showing up for me. I'm not sure why it's not showing up for you. Are you guys also accessing this? Let's do this. Height, 10 pixels. Can I share this? Where's my share? Oh. Okay, you see it. Let me paste this. Are you guys able to access this code pen so you can actually see what I'm doing in real time? You'll see a tooltip pop up when you hover over it. You have to wait just a moment. I'm on a Chrome browser. Okay, there you see it now. Okay, I just want to make sure that there wasn't something going haywire. But I bring this up because using this title attribute in HTML requires zero JavaScript. It's accessible for devices. Yeah, it does say click this. So you can now say things like, basically you can say what's below it, what's above it, why there's a tag. You can have fun with it by putting little Easter eggs around your site that might encourage people to read further. Or something like this. But it is one of those simple little things. It does require a slight, for them to hover over this. Now, where this can also be done, okay, this is going to be, watch this. Let's do div title green lantern. Did you sign up? And I'm going to go div all the way down to the bottom. I don't know if this will work. Let's try it. I'm trying to give you a way if somebody is reading your website and it did work. And basically they stop for a moment. You can use this title tag in any type of div. I just have a wrapper div. Notice how it says, did you sign up? So maybe then you have a sidebar that says sign up for the item. Now this can be really annoying, but you can see that there are things that you could do. Title tag can be added to anything. All right, let's move on. So in dealing with the attributes, I think you guys got the idea. Start with the ID, go to the class. You can then do inline styles, and then you can start getting into the title. Don't mix them around. This has nothing to do with SEO. It is simply, titles within image tags and anchor tags do have something to do with SEO. When we add a title tag to other elements, it's not, right now Google isn't really indexing any of those things other than when it's on an image tag or an anchor tag. Then it does matter. But if you're already using it in other places, this could be a continuation that works out well. Quick reminder, because it's amazing how often we sometimes forget these items, and that would be interlinking without a link where we're going. So what I'm going to do is we're going to come down here. Let's see how there's this. This is another heading. This another heading here. So let's go find that another heading. It's an H2 tag. But if in our H2 tag, we do an anchor, and instead of doing href, we're not going to do an href. We're going to do name equals go here. And then we just wrap it around this. Wrap it around whatever it is that we are trying to create an anchor. So this creates an anchor landing place so that we can go all the way up to the top, and this title of the post, let's link this. So AHREF, and this time all we need to use is the number or the pound sign, and then the name. And then anywhere on that page where this there's a name here or an ID that has this name, it'll take us right to that location. Don't need any JavaScript, don't need anything. We can move to different locations. Now, I can also move down to an ID. So if we, let's say this basic heading, what's the basic heading? Where did it go? Basic heading, let's change this one to an ID. Box. I can do the exact same thing here. Ahref box and now we can either jump to the basic heading or the title of the post. It all depends on whether you want to make a name or whether you want to just jump to wherever that ID is. So being able to provide simple navigation. Now, where this is important, a lot of times we are building parts of WordPress that are dynamic. We're using pods, we're using queries, so we might not know the ID. We might not know the name, but we can add when we're creating a loop and we're creating the display of the loop, we can simply add in a name before each one, have the name. You can have the name come from the ID number because we could actually have 115. And then instead, we can pull 115 from the ID of that post and boom, that works as well. So we can dynamically pull these things in so that we could have an index of information that we're going to automatically going to the same area. Now, if there are multiple IDs on the page, it's not going to work. It's always going to go to the first one. It's going to go to the next ID of that. That's why we only have a single ID. If you need to jump to different areas, you'll want to create your own name tag. Doesn't work for classes, only works for IDs. Any questions on that? Okay. One of the things when we are dealing with our HTML, indenting is going to be absolutely important that we know where we are in the element. Because there's always going to be wrapping elements. So when we're going into a theme and we're making changes, don't just drop the code in there. Make sure you have put it into a place where indentation in the proper place. Mike, yes. You can always have an ID and a class in here, but using the hyperlinked capability, it only responds to IDs or anchor names for moving for actual linked in the page. Only on the same page. Now, here's something else. Let's say you know what the page is, muffin.php. You know what the page is. You can do something like this because that's going to say, find me that named anchor on that page. So you can jump to another page as long as you put that information in. So that is possible. That's an old carryover from the early days of HTML, and it still works today. So if I'm on my homepage and I have a list of things that you may want going to another set part of the section, I can hard code those names, and so it will jump to that page and then move to that portion of the location. So here's an example. Let's say you have a school or some type of a educational group that is going to register for events. Like, let's say you're building a website for a karate studio. And on the front page, you may be having on the sidebar a bunch of links to register for peewee kicking class, register for adult hamstring pull class, whatever. And you can go to the quote registration page, which may be a long page, and you can then jump to that peewee area or the adult area. You can do that using these type of links. So they don't have to, you don't just go to the registration page and then have the customer, the person visiting, scroll down to find the location. So it's just these are these little things with HTML. If you get into the habit of doing it, you can actually save a step for your clients' customers. We don't want to lose anybody. Get them to the proper location as fast as you can. All right, so I talked about the indenting. This is going to be important so that we know where we are. It's going to be easy for us to add information. But remember that sometimes some divs will start on one template and it will end on another template. Like, we might actually have a piece of code in a WordPress template that starts on the index.php of the theme folder. Let's say there's just an open class wrapper. But then the closing class wrapper might be over in the footer.php file. So this is where we need to get into the habit of doing this. End wrapper. If we comment when something ends, it'll help us, especially when we're trying to balance multiple template pages. Yes, remember, even though the template pages in WordPress are PHP, they're basically HTML with stuff dynamically inserted into it. This will help us to know where it's coming from. You may also find that it may be helpful, end wrapper, and then you can even put index.php where it started. So you know, where do I go look at it? Where do I find where it began? These are these little things that, you know, you don't really use them until you needed them. And I put all this stuff because this is an important thing that mainly WordPress people use, because our presentation layer in themes are split out over multiple files. And Mike, yeah, I know some of us still create a lot of the content in straight HTML, and getting in the habit or continuing the habit of closing comments is, especially as those HTML pages get really big and we need to add something, rather than us trying to count up or look or collapse, use whatever items to collapse to find the location of where we want. Knowing where it ends can also be an easy way for us to, I'm going to insert it right in here because that div belongs to that. That closing div belongs to this area. So it's one of those things that, because most of us don't deal with HTML a lot, it's helpful to be reminded about these items. Now, I'm going to show you what I consider one of the cooler things that exists in HTML. So I'm going to put a few break tags in here just because of what we're going to do in this area right here is going to be one of the cooler things that exists in WordPress. So everybody knows, or I hope you know, that an input field is basically going to be something that's inside a form. And so I'm going to just text. So see, we have a form field, input field, does not require anything else. So I'm just going to put down here, start typing. Okay, so start typing. If we started to type now, let's say we're filling out a form, and maybe we're asking the question, let's do this. What is your favorite? We'll put this in here. What is your favorite editor? Close the H2. So people can start typing, my favorite editor is Sublime Text. Chan. I should probably say favorite text editor. Code editor. But how many of you wish you could either provide suggestions or keep people focused? Because open-ended form fields can be a little crazy, but we still want to allow somebody to enter whatever they want. So it's something called a data list. How many of you have ever used a data list in HTML? Or how many of you have never heard of a data list or data list? Okay. For those of you who've never heard about this, this may be revolutionary. It literally is. Data list is the name of the element. Data list, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to do an ID, and we're going to call this one Muffin Man. You can call it whatever you want. Okay, and then we're going to close it just so that we don't forget to close it. Because this is an HTML tag. That data list is an HTML tag. Whatever we put in here will be able to be substituted in that area. So when we have options, basically your options live in drop-down lists, right? So we have value equals Adam option. Notice how nothing is showing up. Value equals Sublime Text. Option value equals Jan. Option value equals Coda. You just put whatever you want. Notice how nothing is showing up. I even come over here. What is my favorite editor? Coda. Okay, great. I misspelled Coda. So let's encourage people to see our suggestions. So in our input field, we're going to do ID equals, and then we do the ID of the data list. And so all of a sudden, when we have this, list. So the list equals the ID of the data list. So we come over here, and immediately when I clicked on this, a dropdown shows up with the items. But watch what happens when I start typing. If I type the letter B, it has already started to auto-complete Sublime Text. If I do A, N, it's finding any of the letters that, and it's kind of sorting through S, M. One of the coolest features in HTML is using this data list inside any input field, so that you can encourage. Now, what do you mean we can't see it though? Let me save it. You should be able to open or refresh this training class. Oh, you can't, for some reason, the Zoom doesn't allow you to see popovers because we're just broadcasting this browser. Maybe that's it. If you click on that CodePen link, you should see that drop down, And then you can play around typing it by starting the word letter A, D, coda. And yes, if you simply click in the box, it automatically opens and then somebody can select this. But guess what? We just simply used an input type text. We're not using a dropdown. We're not using anything like that. All we are doing is calling the list. It's a data list. A lot of fun. There's some more advanced things you can do with this. I'd encourage you, if you want to chase this rabbit trail, go look up data lists in HTML. Now, this next bit is going to be a bit of a discussion. Does everybody know the difference between block quote, cite, and queue? Everybody know the difference between this? Let me just finish these off. Okay. A lot of people don't know about queue. Queue has been around and it does a really cool thing for formatting on quotes of a quote. So notice how the block quote gives us some really cool stuff. Some smart person. Let me get rid of the queue for now. So the block quote takes whatever comments or whatever styling is done, and it actually provides a little bit of indent and a padding without any of the CSS. And block quote is the overarching quote where you're quoting somebody else, and then inside the citation is, again, your CSS is going to style it, but by default, it already comes italicized. But there's another thing, and that's the queue. Now, sometimes when we are quoting somebody, let me do this. I'm going to quote. I am quoting this person. So notice how we have an open quote. Oh, not one, Q. So see how the quote is a double quote, because that means, and I think Jan, you'll love this one. So in actual writing, if we are quoting somebody else, it's a double quote. But what if the person we are quoting is quoting somebody else? So you can do a Q inside this, and it's going to treat anything inside with a single quote. And you can, it's a way that it works within all this stuff. So let me, even if we go inside the block quote and add this, I am quoting this person. So it's one of those rare situations that there is a proper way of doing it, especially if you are, here's where the example would be. You have a, let's say you have a book review site or a movie review site or some type of a review site where in your database you are storing quotes, you are storing movies, and you're kind of pulling these things dynamically together where a reviewer is going to say, I really love the thing when the actor said this. So you have a reviewer who is basically wanting to quote a quotation from the movie, And it allows you to simply just use cues everywhere. And the internal quote gets the single one. And if we do another quote, I have no idea what's going to happen if we go three deep. But basically, it's everything inside gets single quotes, but then it starts looking really weird. But it's built into HTML. Every single browser supports using Q as a quotation capability. So yes, block quote can be both a presentation system, but Q is really a good way to say that this is a quote, and then you can have quotes inside of the quotes. All right. Now, here is something that I'm really hoping it continues down the road. Barbara, perfect way to do something like this, a quote inside a quote. Let's just do this. I'm going to make some stuff up. So we have a client, or we have a customer, or a customer filling out a form, and we collect their name. And then in the form, let's say you're doing a class reunion website. You are doing something like, who is the funniest person at the reunion? Name of funny person. We'll call this funny. And then what did they say? Quote. So let's say we were using pods. And so we do something like, and again, it's not going to display, but you'll get the idea. Inside a block quote, we're going to say, using a cue, I thought that it was hysterical when Bobby said, Q, quote, and then we'd have a site, your name. So see what we've now just done. We've been able to, and then we can put up a quote board where somebody is saying, I thought it was hysterical when blah, this person said, and then it's their quote, and then the citation name. See how I'm using the pods concept of inserting dynamically from the database using the pods field. Again, I'm trying to just pull these ideas out of my hat to give you where this would be useful, where we use quotes inside quotes, because now you don't have to figure out where to put an opening and a single quote or a double quote or whatever. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay, so this next thing, mathematical markup language. The sad thing is, it's been in the works for years. Anybody see that date up there? 1997. It's one of the slowest things to support. Right now it works in Firefox. It works in Safari. Does not work in Chrome. Now, I don't have Firefox, so I can't show it to you. But what mathematical markup language would do if I could show it to you we can use a, and you can try this on your own if you have Firefox or if you have Safari. You use a HTML element markup of math. And then you can do something like math fraction. And then you would have a, close that. MIBM fraction math. It's not going to show it here because this browser doesn't support it. But what this would do is this AB would appear as an A over B. It would look like a fraction. See all this, if we go to the presentation, see how there are identifiers. We can have a number, an operator. You can actually do in Firefox and Safari mathematical equations that display everything, that lay out advanced items without having to use JavaScript. Right now, the only way to do this in a lot of cross-browser situations is to use a mathematical JavaScript scripting language that will turn around, and let me see if I can show this. Where's the... See, it's like this. It's mathematical notation. If we actually needed something like this, some of you work with private schools, and if they say, I want to be able to show mathematical notation markup, or maybe you have a client who's doing their dissertation, they want you to build them a website so that you can put that stuff up. Well, you can do that. You can say, well, you can take screenshots or images of your mathematical equations and we can put them in. Or there is notation markup that if they use Firefox and Safari, it operates properly. And hopefully Chrome will support it in the future. And it does. It is a pure short code markup items so that you can get this stuff. So again, I put this out there. I put the link in the handout that will take you to the W3 information. Just so that you have it in your back pocket, it can be done in HTML. It can be done in markup, but it is not fully supported. So this can also give you, this page also, can I use MathML, the math markup language? If a client says, I want this, you could say, well, it's not cross-browser supported. So here's our solution. Just take screenshots of your stuff that you're using in your application. So I wanted to point out that there is these advanced items, and there's some issues that can be helpful, how to approach it. Now, as most of you know, I'm heavily a Chrome user, a Chromebook user, but I've got something for those of you who are more Mac-oriented Safari items. There is a, and I can't demonstrate, but I can show you what it would look like. In creating a form for customers to fill out, if they have an iPhone, you could do input type text X WebKit speech, which would simply indicate any browser that supports speech input. It will show up with a, it's not going to show up here on this. It will show up with a microphone. They click that, the app, the software, the browser that supports WebKit speech will listen, or it may even say the browser may ask for permission, but it will allow them to click on that, say their item, and it will populate. Now, in Gravity Forms, You can add those things, but it has to be through code. It's a function that would allow you to add attributes. I don't know it offhand. I'd have to look it up. But if you're looking for, I would just look at Gravity Forms. Add attribute to field is what we're looking for so that we can add X WebKit speech. It's a great thing to do because if the browser doesn't support it, nothing shows up. If the browser does support it, WebKit speech just takes over. All right, so I've got, let's see what time I have. I did want to point out, some of the stuff in tomorrow's CSS is going to deal heavily with HTML in terms of modifying things like these list items, and we're going to be using some pseudo elements before and after. So we're going to come back and we're going to use this same code pen. And while it may feel like some of the stuff that is HTML related, it requires us to do CSS. So we're going to leave this class alone so that I don't even touch any CSS today. We will deal with it tomorrow. But a lot of the things is adding color pickers into just the browser, making things sticky, modifying headings, subheadings. So we'll mess around with this element in order to learn CSS, the advanced elements of CSS. So I hope this has been kind of fun, a little eye-opening to some of the things that you may or may not have even known you could do with HTML. Noticed how we didn't do any JavaScript, and we still are able to create dropdowns, autocomplete, things that don't require tons of skill or knowledge. So I hope you have a great rest of the day. Tomorrow's going to be a pretty heavy day. We'll definitely go over the hour, but I will see you all tomorrow. Take care.